Welcome to this audio issue of Best Buys, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. This issue was originally published on October 16, 2025. Not even Douglas MacArthur could bury this business. A 400-year-old, and counting, Japanese dynasty. Hideki Tojo figured that he couldn't miss if he drew a charcoal pencil target on his own left breast pocket. Hidden away in a modest cottage in suburban Tokyo, Japan's former prime minister, with a body count in the millions and a reputation on par with Hitler and Mussolini, figured he'd reached the end of his road. 9 days earlier, after the devastation of atomic bombs at Hiroshima and Nagasaki in August 1945, Japan's Emperor Hirohito had officially surrendered to Allied forces, ending World War II. And now U.S. General Douglas MacArthur had touched down on the tarmac at Atsugi Air Base, heading up an occupying force of 350,000 soldiers who would run Japan the American way. There was nothing left for one-time strongman Tojo but a samurai's death, honorable suicide. Or so he thought. As a task force of American GIs, plus curious reporters, surrounded Tojo's cottage, ready on MacArthur's orders to arrest him for war crimes, he cocked his pistol and pulled the trigger. And somehow, despite the charcoal X marks the spot over his heart, the bullet went wide. Bleeding from a flesh wound, Tojo swayed on his feet as a dozen Americans swarmed into the room. New York Times reporter George Jones later recalled that the gun dropped from his hand and clattered to the floor. His knees buckled and he dropped into an easy chair behind him. Welling streams of blood spread over his white shirt front. There would be no hero's death for Hideki Tojo. Recorded by the reporter's eager flashbulbs, he was forced to suffer the indignity of care from American medics, imprisonment in Tokyo's Sugamo prison, and, a year later, trial for war crimes at the hands of an American tribunal. After conviction, Tojo would swing, along with over 900 other high-ranking war criminals in the Japanese military. Emperor Hirohito was spared to serve as a useful figurehead. And General Douglas MacArthur, having started out his occupation of Japan with a bang, set out to radically reform Japanese society over the next 6+ years, whether they liked it or not. After 5 years of war and 2 atomic bombs, Japan was a wasteland with 1/4 of its industrial capacity destroyed and 9 million people, about 30% of the urban population, homeless. MacArthur's mandate was to rebuild Japanese society while ensuring it stayed compliant and demilitarized. To him, that meant tearing down the country's conservative, feudal social structures and replacing them with a heavy helping of New Deal-style progressivism. MacArthur's ambitious Operation Blacklist was designed to quickly and effectively sever the Japanese from their national identity. Rising Sun flags were lowered and replaced with the Stars and Stripes. The Emperor made a painful public statement that he was human, not divine. And, after rounding up Tojo and the other war criminals, MacArthur forced the Japanese to hack up their own military, destroying 11,000 aircraft and dumping 190,000 artillery pieces and several million tons of rifles and ammunition into the ocean. The plum ships of the fleet, though, went to the Allies for their own use. Next, he purged public offices, ousting about 200,000 Japanese ultranationalists from service. He discontinued the national religion, Shinto Buddhism, and instigated labor unions. And as the pièce de résistance, he broke up one of Japan's most treasured cultural institutions, the Zaibatsu. If it ain't broken, don't bust it. Zaibatsu, monopolies, were family-owned holding companies, dating back to the mid-1800s, that controlled huge swaths of trade and industry. At the top of each Zaibatsu sat an all-powerful bank, controlled by an all-powerful family, the Mitsubishis, the Mitsus, the Yasudas, the Sumitomos, and a few others. The Mitsus and Mitsubishis alone handled about 70% of Japan's trading industry, pre-World War II. MacArthur felt the Zaibatsu were entirely too powerful, so, in 1947, in his role as the Supreme Commander of Allied Powers, he drew up a new economic constitution for Japan. It abolished the holding companies and confiscated the wealth of the 10 families at the top, allotting each of them a fixed monthly living wage of just $30, though, granted, that was worth a little more in 1940s dollars. It was a massive trust-busting operation, and it cleared the financial landscape like Fat Man and Little Boy had cleared the cities. After a couple of years of nanny state babysitting, MacArthur's New Deal policies came back to bite him, and Japan, in the rear. Between 1945 and 1958, inflation soared, with prices increasing more than 700%, and food shortages rose. Without the stabilizing influence of the Zaibatsu, the new trade unions bubbled with unrest. And, worse, the boogeyman of communism was gathering steam in China and Russia, leaving weak, demilitarized Japan ripe for the picking. On the home front, MacArthur had lost some clout. President Franklin D. Roosevelt had died in 1945, a few months into his fourth term, and the pendulum was swinging away from the New Deal welfare state in American politics. U.S. politicians like California Republican Senator William Noland had begun to grumble about MacArthur's handling of Japan, saying that breaking up the Zaibatsu was socialistic and resembled Soviet views. Sensing shifting sentiments, in a move that would come to be called the reverse course, MacArthur reinstated swaths of hardline Japanese right-wingers in public office. He disenfranchised the labor unions and encouraged Japan to rebuild its military. What a pity all that ammo was at the bottom of the sea. And, quietly, he eased up on the Zaibatsu. Officially, under Japan's new constitution, the monopolies were disbanded, but MacArthur now invited them to come back, with a few modifications. The all-powerful ruling families at the top were replaced with shareholders. And instead of Zaibatsu, they'd now be known as Kiretsu, conglomerates. But structurally, not much changed. The big holding companies resumed their historic role as the backbone of the Japanese economy. And it worked, setting the stage for a 1950s recovery that would come to be known as the Japanese economic miracle. MacArthur wasn't around to enjoy it. President Harry S. Truman fired MacArthur in 1951 and recalled him from Japan for insubordination, underscoring the age-old moral that socialism does not pay. As for the Zaibatsu, now, Kiretsu, they never really went away. Having been around for hundreds of years before this shakeup, they just sat back and waited. And, of course, they're still around today and still dominating vast sectors of Japanese industry, from autos to semiconductor chips. It's one of those original conglomerates, an extremely capital-efficient one, that we've added as one of our newest Best Buys. If you're not already a subscriber to Best Buys, click here to learn more. Or call our customer care team at 888-610-8895, or internationally at +1-443-815-4447. For more information on getting access to this publication. 1. Mitsui & Company, OTC, Mitsui. The Kiretsu that we're adding as our latest Best Buys recommendation is Japanese holding firm Mitsui & Company, OTC, Mitsui, which will replace shoe and apparel maker Nike, NYSE, NKE. While we remain bullish on Nike, and it remains below our recommended buy-up-to price, we believe Mitsui & Company offers one of the most attractive long-term growth opportunities in today's market. Why we recommended Mitsui & Company? Mitsui & Company is a large global Japanese general trading company that conducts a wide range of activities including trading, investment, project development, and financing. The company operates in areas such as mineral resources, energy, infrastructure, machinery, chemicals, food, and healthcare. At its core, Mitsui has perfected a system that ingeniously leverages public institutions and their financing to socialize the costs of its capital and its risk-taking, while channeling the resulting profits into its own coffers. This mechanism, honed over generations, allows Mitsui to access near unlimited funding at negligible rates and to deploy it into high-return assets with minimal personal exposure. It's a model of remarkable efficiency, enabling consistent compounding that few Western conglomerates can match, and it underscores why Mitsui & Company generates returns on invested capital, ROIC, of 15%, far above global averages, while maintaining low overhead and capex. To grasp this strategy, consider the absurdity of the scale. Companies like Mitsui, with $106.7 billion in assets, borrow at rates as low as 0.4%, effectively free money when inflation hovers around 2%. This isn't market magic, it's the deliberate outcome of Japan's intertwined public-private ecosystem. Layer on state-backed institutions like Japan Bank for International Cooperation, UBIC, a bank fully owned by the government with $150 billion in assets. ABA Pre-Burk provides low-interest loans and guarantees for overseas projects, often at rates below 1%, covering up to 70% of political and commercial risks. This socializes potential losses. Taxpayers bear the brunt if deals sour, while Mitsui captures the upside. Why Mitsui & Company is a Best Buy? As global investors flee fiat currencies, seeking refuge in gold, Bitcoin, or real estate, the value of Mitsui & Company, which masters this conversion, is poised to soar. This is not mere speculation. It is the timeless mechanism by which the intellectual elite of business preserve and multiply wealth, a strategy Warren Buffett has championed throughout his career. True wealth accrues not from speculation but from owning undervalued claims on productive assets, patiently unlocking their potential. This is precisely how the very rich stay rich and grow richer, by acquiring dollars of hard assets for dimes, using mechanisms that shield them from volatility while compounding quietly. Mitsui, for instance, officially trades at a price-to-book, PB, ratio of about 1.0x, meaning $1 of assets for $1 of price, but our sum-of-the-parts analysis suggests an intrinsic value 1.4x higher, or 40 cents of upside per dollar invested. This isn't just a bargain. It's a vehicle for transforming worthless paper credit into hard assets worldwide, managed by masters of long-term wealth preservation. Mitsui & Company's $71 billion market cap lags a $100.7 billion sum of the parts valuation. But unlike 1950s cigar butts, Mitsui has much more than one puff left to give. It compounds at 12% to 15% ROIC via capital light stakes, turning paper discounts into perpetual wealth. If you own this stock, never, ever sell it. Action to take: buy Mitsui & Company, OTC, MITSI, up to $550 per share. 2. Eli Lilly, NYSE, LLY. Eli Lilly, NYSE, LLY, is the global leader in the booming market for GLP-1 diabetes and weight loss drugs. Why we recommended Eli Lilly? The GLP-1 weight loss drug market is at a competitive crossroads. Eli Lilly displaced the former industry leader, Novo Nordisk, NVO, achieving 50% market share earlier this year, and the trend continued in its latest Q2 earnings results, released on August 7, when Lilly gained 57% share. Sales of Lilly's top-selling product, the diabetes treatment Mounjaro, grew 68% year-on-year, YI, to reach $5.2 billion in Q2. Zepbound, Lilly's other GLP-1 offering for weight management, generated $3.4 billion of sales in the quarter, with sales up by an incredible 172% YI for the quarter. Both drugs have the same active ingredient, tirzepatide, which stimulates insulin release to help lower blood sugar and suppress appetite. The two drugs make up 55% of Eli Lilly's sales, and their rapid growth contributed to a 38% YI increase in revenue, which reached $15.56 billion in Q2, while earnings per share, EPS, jumped 61% to $6.31. The company boosted its 2025 expected revenue to $61 billion, up from a previous estimate of $59.5 billion, while expected EPS rose to $21.48, up from $20.92 previously. Already, the booming sales of Eli Lilly's GLP-1 drugs have made it one of the fastest-growing pharmaceutical companies in the world. Since the 2022 launch of Mounjaro, the company's revenue has increased 20% each year, and this trend is expected to continue through at least 2029, when sales are expected to cross over the $100 billion mark. Why Eli Lilly is a best buy? So far, the main GLP-1 drugs on the market come in an injectable form, including Mounjaro and Zepbound, as well as Novo Nordisk's Ozempic and Wegovy. More recently, big pharma companies are racing to create the first pill form of the drug, which should open up a massive new source of demand from consumers who don't want to take the drug via injections. But oral GLP-1s have had some snags. Pfizer, PFE, was forced to discontinue two of its oral GLP-1 drugs because of adverse reactions in the liver. Novo Nordisk's Rybelsus drug failed to achieve the same efficacy of its injectables. Eli Lilly was thought to be the current leader in this race with its new oral GLP-1 pill Orforglipron, based in large part by management's positive commentary on the promising early clinical data. Going into the August 7 earnings call, investors were expecting the company to show results indicating at least 15% loss in body weight. But on the company's Q2 earnings call, the latest data released from a phase 3 trial of Orforglipron showed the pill producing an average weight loss of just 12.4% over 72 weeks at its highest dose. This result was less than the current competing drug under development by Novo Nordisk, an oral form of semaglutide, the same active ingredient in Wegovy, which showed 15.1% weight loss in a drug trial lasting 68 weeks. Despite the setback, we believe this is a significant overreaction. Eli Lilly plans to continue moving the drug through its development pipeline, with a launch plan next year, pending regulatory approval. The final effectiveness and side effects of the competing GLP-1 pills from competitors like Novo Nordisk is still not known. Plus, Eli Lilly's injectable GLP-1s are still the most effective weight loss drugs on the market, delivering weight loss exceeding 20% in the highest doses. The overall weight loss market is still largely untapped, with only about 4% of Americans currently using the drugs, while 40% of the population is obese. Eli Lilly will continue to be one of the biggest winners from this trend, and it's just getting started. Analysts estimate the overall market will grow from around $50 billion today to between $100 billion to $150 billion by 2030. The sell-off created an opportunity to acquire Eli Lilly at just 25x next year's earnings estimates, based on forward price-to-earnings, P/E, ratio. That's the cheapest valuation since the GLP-1 boom officially kicked off in mid-2021, when Novo Nordisk secured the first approval for using the drugs as a weight loss treatment, and before Eli Lilly launched its competing version of Mounjaro in mid-2022. And we're not the only one seeing a bargain in shares of Eli Lilly. Five top Lilly executives have purchased $2.9 million in LLY shares since August 8, including CEO David Ricks. Action to take: buy Eli Lilly, NYSE, LLY, up to $900 per share. 3. British American Tobacco, NYSE, BTI. British American Tobacco, NYSE, BTI, owns the second largest portfolio of tobacco brands in the U.S. behind Altria, including Camel, Lucky Strike, Dunhill, Cool, and others. Why we recommended British American Tobacco? Not only does British Tobacco own the second largest portfolio of tobacco products, it also owns the second largest portfolio of less harmful tobacco alternatives, including its Vuse vaping product and the Velo brand of nicotine pouches. The company is the world's second largest nicotine company, last year generating $33 billion in revenue and $10 billion in free cash flow. That puts it just behind the number one industry leader, Philip Morris International, PM, which generated $38 billion in revenue and $11 billion in free cash flow last year. Yet, despite generating 90% of the free cash flow as its top competitor, British Tobacco's $125 billion market capitalization reflects a more than 50% discount to Philip Morris' $255 billion market capitalization. We believe this valuation gap will narrow significantly, sending shares of BDI higher. Why British American Tobacco is a best buy? Vuse is the dominant vaping brand among Food and Drug Administration, FDA-approved products available in the U.S., with roughly 50% of the legal market share. The problem is, illegal Chinese vape imports have taken over the U.S. vaping market, with anywhere from 50% to 80% of the total market share. With U.S. and Chinese officials still in the middle of tariff negotiations, significant trade restrictions on Chinese imports are likely to mean increased customs inspections, which in turn should reduce the flow of illegal Chinese vaping products into the country. In the meantime, President Donald Trump's FDA Commissioner, Dr. Marty Makary, has already acknowledged that slowing illegal Chinese vape imports is a top priority, and roughly a dozen states are independently cracking down on illegal vapes as well. Given the growing support among both state and federal regulators, we believe it's simply a matter of time before the flow of illegal Chinese vapes slows dramatically. And with Vuse already the clear market leader among FDA-approved vaping devices, we believe British Tobacco will become the major beneficiary. Best of all, with 50% of its revenue coming from overseas, BTI also offers a built-in hedge against further tariff-related declines in the US dollar. We believe the market has underappreciated the strength of British Tobacco's smoke-free portfolio, with a series of positive catalysts set to unlock its growth potential in 2025. As a result, the business trades dirt cheap at 12x this year's expected free cash flow. With a 5.7% dividend yield, investors get paid to wait for the market to realize its growing potential as a leader in the smoke-free revolution. Action to take: buy British American Tobacco, NYSE, BTI, up to $60 per share. Every month, we highlight three current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point, and we include those with the best buying opportunity as our best buys. While we regularly alternate which companies we list as our best buys, removing a stock from the list does not necessarily mean we no longer recommend it to its buy up to price. It's only that the new picks present an even more compelling investment opportunity. For past best buy recommendations, click here. Porter & Company, Stevenson, Maryland. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hope you enjoyed this audio issue.